Say it again. I'm not an exception to the power of God. Say it again. We are not exceptions to the power of God. Okay, we see other persons that are receiving testimonies and say, oh, this works for me, this works, and you are there saying, why is my own case different? Say, I'm not an exception to the power of God. No, we are not. If you have ever heard a testimony of seeing someone physically get well, if you have ever received supernatural health for yourself or someone close to you that you have seen with your hands, as in with your eyes, that you understand, as in not that you heard, you were told, but not that you were told, as in you saw it and it was real. Can I see your hands up? So it is not a mirage. It's not fairy tale. So if you are now the one saying, but on this one, may have been, I've been. So what is the problem? The problem will not be, definitely not be the power of God. It will either be your reception or something around. And no, that is what we are refusing to agree to. See, I'm not an exception to the power of God. I'm not an exception to the power of God. God's word is my reality. That is things you say to yourself. God's word goes beyond study. It becomes my reality. Like, it goes beyond study. I study is my reality. I study so it can be my reality. And in my much study, I see much more in my reality. That is the believer. That is the believer. That's the believer. We are not studying much to have evidence to doubt. No, we are studying much to see much around us. See much around us. We see much around us. Think we need to get to the point where you just, no. Then I would say, anger does not have a place in the believer. I would say, just get to the point where you are just angry about something. I say, no. What is this? What is this? We are not exceptions to the power of God. No. Don't let your life now be what makes it look. Don't. Like Pastor said in healing, in the 101 series, you are not feeling fine. You still have time to spend 1 hour chatting on WhatsApp. Is the solution there? Like, are you? It has not dawned on you that this you need this thing. You still have time to ask people, how are you doing? How are you? You still have time to find out the score of match or who did this one. You are okay where you are. It means you are accepting what it is. It's a time to be angry. You pray and you see. You are fine. It's not a time to now relax and start watching movies. You get more intensified in this. Why? Because once you relax one second, you think the devil is sleeping. And then you just, after you have gotten a little respite, you just spend the time doing other things. You start seeing symptoms again and then you now break down. Why? On this path, there is no break. See, if there's no break in ministry, there is no break, no stop. So also, when you are actively believing something with the power of God, you don't take breaks. You don't take breaks. You don't take breaks. This is, you know, this do or die affair. Like, it has to work. That's when you know that all you have, except maybe you have options. If you have options, you know you can be relaxed. Like, okay, I have options. At least if this does not happen, this happens. But when you don't have options, your attitude is we die here. Because if it doesn't work, I'm finished. So let me just finish myself here. Let me just be here. The believer doesn't have options. That's how we attack these things. We don't have options. Our option is only in the Word. We don't seek alternatives. If for a parable of an unrighteous judge, say this woman by a continuous coming wearies me. Let me give her what she needs so I can have peace. And for the belief, see, it cannot be that hard for us. Why? Because we are not dealing with an unrighteous God, but a situation that is I know an unrighteous situation. How do you call it? You must now show that I'm more stubborn than you. You tell this, say you want to be stubborn. See, I'm more stubborn than you. Because now it's not a proof of wills. It's a proof of who wants it most. Ha. Who wants it the most? Who wants it the most? Who wants it the most? How important is health to you? How important is living fine? How important is not spending the little money you have on such things? How important is not being crippled by physical challenges? How important is it that physically you are fine? How important is it to you? How important? See, how important? Are you sure it is important? We are believers. We are believers. So of course, as our custom, let's pray 5 minutes again for ourselves, for our bodies, for this church, for everyone amongst us. 5 minutes. Just go ahead and pray. You pray and then you speak clear words. You speak clear words. You speak clear words. This body must respond to the power of God. See, the song says sickness will submit to the name of Jesus, for there is no other name, there is no other alternative, there is no other option. It has to submit. It has to submit. You are not the one who will succumb to it. No, you must submit. You must submit. Because if indeed we know that God has never failed, then we are the ones failing in receiving. If God has never failed, if there is a failure, it must be on our part. And on this one, we will not fail. No, we will not fail. We will not fail. In effectiveness in prayer, Pastor said that we will get to heaven, we will not meet one unanswered prayer there. We will not ask, what was the matter? I thought my prayers were not answered. But you will not see one unanswered, not one. Not one unanswered prayers. God will be absolved from every man. He will be able to say, see, oh, it wasn't me. Where was the problem? The problem will not be us. It cannot be us. God said, I made healing available. I knew that man will have a body that needs it. See, oh, I made it available. See, oh, it wasn't me. See, oh, there was resources on the earth. See, oh, there was wisdom for you to know what to do. See, oh, you could have spent your days knowing what you should have done. See, it wasn't me. And at that point in time, it should be too late to now say you are nursing it. No. The years we have on earth, who will get the best. For our bodies, we will get the best. Receive the best for our bodies. In the name of Jesus. Let it be that we are the ones who said, hey, we did everything. We did everything. And not shift it back to God if it is possible. Because now it's on our own ledger. It's man. Let us shift it back. Say, hey, all you said we should do, we did. And we did not stop doing. So where was the problem? we have better days. Oh, we have better days. Oh, we have better days. We are not exceptions to God's power. We are not exceptions to God's power. Our health is not staggered. It's not staggered. Doesn't fluctuate. We are carriers of an eternal reality. Even our physical reflects that. It reflects it. It reflects that. It reflects that. You are an adult that can take responsibility for his actions. Take responsibility for this one. Take responsibility for this one. Take responsibility for this one. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, say again. I am not an exception to the power of God. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Let it swing in your head. You are not an exception to the power of God. You are not. Every one of us will have our own card-carrying stamp of testimony. Say, hey, see. You have your, see mine. It also works for me. It also works for me. It also works for me. It works for me. It works for me. We will not be observing how people are sharing theirs. I'm like, when we know that the bias is not with God, no, it works for me. As you are sharing yours, I'm sharing mine. See, the power of God. See mine. Power of God works here. No exceptions to God's power. No exceptions. No. I refuse to be that exception. I refuse it. If my case will ever be different, it must be a positive light. It must be positive. Yeah. See. No. If there is a best of God to have for our physical lives, you just see, you see in me. If there is an example to say, ha, if the power of God works in a man, this is how it will be. This is the offshoot. You will see it in me. You see it. It will just, as it is said, this is why it is. You just see it. You see it. Don't be the one that say, ah. Pray for this one. Go to this one. No work. Why? Nah. I'm not that exception. I'm not an exception. I've seen the power work for me. I'm telling you my own, I've seen it though. And I will keep seeing it. And I will not let what I'm not seeing to make me feel like I'm not seeing it. No, I'm seeing it. These physical eyes, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing more. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Father, for you have not left us helpless. Thank you, Father. You have never left man helpless, and we will not be helpless. Never. We're not the ones that say we are without help. We cannot be the ones that say we are confused. We are not the one perplexed. We are not the ones at the end of our own selves at all times. No, that's not us. We maximize the consolation you have given us in the word and by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And we use it and ensure that in every area of our lives, we see better days. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, have your seat, everyone. Good evening, family. How was your day? Okay, we're going to look at something. Of course, as a build-up of what Pastor has been on for a while.
No. We have a source. And it all flows from that. It's a build-up of last weekend in Kaduna and some other sermons, but as we're going, as we progress, you will understand where we are going to. Okay, so the title is The Path of Glory. The Path, as P-A-T-H. The Path of Glory. The Path of Glory. P-A-T-H. And in bracket, put my part. My part. So your part now will now be P-A-R-T. My part. Do you get that? The Path of Glory, bracket, my path. Of course, if you have been following Pastor for weeks now, you hear me repeatedly saying something that you are not an atheist, right? Keep saying that. I said, we have plenty atheists in church. You think that the atheist is just the one that shouts on social media, there's no God, there's no God. We have some believing atheists, even though that's an irony, in church. What makes them that way? Because of their actions. They act like there is no God. Because if you believe something, the proof of believing shows where in your actions. So if you are not acting as believed, then it can actually be said that you did not believe. So, Pastor's admonition recently has always been, ensure you're not an atheist. So let's examine where the atheist went wrong. Where did the atheist go wrong? That's the question. Where did the atheist go wrong? I'll give you the answer and then we'll study this evening. Where did the atheist go wrong? In choosing reasoning over faith. In choosing reasoning. Reasoning over faith. Now, we have repeatedly seen that man is what? Spirit, soul, body. Okay? Man is spirit, soul, body. And the part of man that is vital in his decision is what? Is mind, which is the soul. So, the soul is the mental faculty and is an integral part of man. Why is it this special? Because it is the only part of man that is fully under his control. Mind of man is where man's own seat of dominion. It is the part of man that is fully under his control. Under the control of the man. The sad part, however, is that many persons are unaware of that. They are not aware that the mind is under their control. They are not aware. They don't understand that the mind is under their control. And because of that, the mind now controls them. A man who does not take control of his mind, the mind will control him. That's just the truth. If a man doesn't take control of his mind, the mind will fully control that man. That is where you will now see persons deciding to choose reasoning over faith. They have allowed the mind to control. Mind, take the wheel. If it doesn't make sense to you, reject it. Now let's see from Exodus 3. Men choosing reasoning, trying to analyze things, is not a new thing. It's not a new phenomenon at all. Trying to decide with your mind is not. You are trying to look at a note. She's trying to look at the other person. Where did I lose you, people of God? It's just funny. You are looking, you are looking. He is looking. All right, so. Yeah. So where did I lose you? I've not said much. I said if a man doesn't take control of his mind, then the mind will now take control of the man. Simple. So I would say that's not a new thing. Eh? I didn't even hear what they're saying. Okay, that's why the atheist, that's the problem of the atheist. He chooses reasoning over faith. This is why we choose reasoning over faith. When you have allowed the mind to take full control, that means you are telling the mind, bam, if it doesn't make sense to you, then reject. So because of that, if it doesn't make sense to the mind has the power to let it go. This is where the atheist went wrong. Okay? Now, and I said this disposition is not new. Man trying to reason things out is not a new thing. Not be today's start. Let's see Exodus 3. That is all I've said. I've not gone far at all. So, it's too early to be searching and be searching and be searching. Exodus chapter 3. Are we there? Verse 1. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, yea, I am. Now, what got Moses' attention here? You see something that was a curiosity to his mind. Why is this thing not happening? So we see him trying to investigate. That was where it started from. And then you see the response and the assignment. I want to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. I will deliver them. I will free them. And all of that. Now go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 verse 1. But first of all, Moses seeing that supernatural thing, should it have been enough to convince him? Should it have been enough? Should it be enough? You see a bush that is not burning, even though there's fire. Should that have been enough to convince you that, okay, this is a supernatural act at work, and if this, what is behind this supernatural act, say, I will do this into Egypt. Should it have been enough to convince him? It should have. But let's see chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, chapter 4 verse 1, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, had appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again. And he plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they believe not thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the what? Letter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now, is this sufficient proof? Is this sufficient proof? Okay, see response. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. So this just shows that it was Moses himself who needed convincing. You know, when he started from chapter 1, the verse 1 in chapter 4, he said, they will not believe me. Okay, now we have given you how many signs? He doesn't say, okay, see, I'm not talking well. Shows that it was Moses himself that had the issue that needed convincing. He was reluctant to go, and of course, he was looking for excuses why he should not go. And all his doubts were addressed, received. But one thing was certain there. Even though he was expressing doubt, we see sufficient evidence being given to help him choose the supernatural over his mind. Because it did not make sense. A shepherd, somebody that is tending sheep, no military skill, no military whatever, and you are saying, go and rescue persons from a land where he knows the brutality of the leaders, a bigger land. And you are saying, just go and say, I the Lord, send thee. Did it make sense? No. But that was why he was being given such evidence, so that he can know that, hey, it is not the sense that matters here. There is something much more you must believe. This tells us that for the man who needs proof, he will always get it. You know the atheist problem, we say there's no proof. The man who needs proof will always get it, always. But you know what the question is? How much proof is enough? How much proof is enough? How much proof is enough? Let's see Judges. Judges, chapter 6. Judges, chapter 6. Verse 11. Judges 6, 11. Open, open, open. Make sure we're done by 8:30. Go home. Judges 6, 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianite. Now, you see, questions now. Trying to choose the physical as a, using the physical as a basis to determine whether God is actually with them or not. Okay, now let's see 14. And the Lord spoke unto him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save? What will I use to save? Behold, save Israel. Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Are you seeing the physical, following this story, physical evidence? And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. What is always the response? I am with thee. All those signs to Moses was to prove to him that what? You are not alone on this one. I am with thee. I am with thee. Okay, 17. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Who has been talking with him? He said, if I found grace, just show me a sign. Just see, you might be an apparition. It might not be, as in, you might be hologram. So that's holographic image. That's what you go hear, yes. Maybe an holographic image. Just show me something tangible so I can know that you are really talking with me. Okay. Verse 18. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the living cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh. and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for behold, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord now said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." And then we see further instructions. He was told what to do. Now, see verse 36. He was told what to do. He did it. He did not die. Even though he did it at night, but he was able to prove something to his family. But see what now happened in verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said." You know, the instruction, the general instruction that he should go and deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Now, Gideon is trying to accept that. He's now saying, all those sacrifices of something burning is not enough for him to accept. He didn't accept. He's now saying again, 36. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said." Do you understand this test? He's saying that he will put, let me use a towel. I'll put a towel on outside. I'll put it on the grass. If I come tomorrow morning and every other place is dry and this towel is wet, I will know that you sent me. Right? Okay. Now let's see the response. "And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and trussed the fleece together and rinsed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water." That means he now squeezed the towel, squeezed it very well, and he got a full bowl of water, and everywhere else was dry. Was that not enough? Okay, let's continue. 39. "And Gideon said unto God, let not thy anger be hot against me, and I will speak, but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground, let there be what? Dew." In case that one was an animal that came to weigh on it, let's be sure. Now, I will give you something that is harder. See, everywhere will be wet. Let only this one be dry. Proof, oh, okay. 40. "And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground." Now, was this enough? Are you sure? Are you sure it's enough for you? Because even among believers, we still have proof, but it's not enough. Okay, let's continue. You see, Gideon was putting out tests to attempt to get conviction, and he actually got what he wanted. But see chapter 7, verse 9. He has finally received enough conviction to carry, to raise men and go into battle. However, on the way, even those men are reduced from who is fearful go back to how some people should drink water, then those people should go back. At the end of the day, he had only 300 persons left. The fear came again. How? So, let's see verse 9. "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. But if thou fear to go thou with Purim thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Purim his servant into the outside of the armed men that were in the host." Now, if he was already convinced from all the other tests he should have been putting, if that word came and said, "If you're afraid, go and confirm," should he have gone? Do you understand? If all that he has said, put cake here, the cake disappeared, put dry tin, put it, let it be wet, let it warm, everything, he has done all that. If that was enough conviction for him, when he now got to the battlefield and said, "Okay, even though you have only 300 men, don't worry, I am still with you. But if you're afraid, okay, go down and go and get confirmation." What should have been his response? "Don't worry, I know you are with me. I have seen enough to prove." But he went down, and this was what now happened. Verse 12. "And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley," like, see description of people he's going to fight. "They lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for
multitude. They never tell us the number. That there were so much that it was just looking like grasshoppers filled the whole land. Okay. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And Gideon was coming with that many persons. Okay. So now you will understand whether it is enough, the evidence was enough or not. 13. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else except the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand had God delivered Midian and all his host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered into your hand the host of Midian. So when he now got confirmation even from the enemy they are going to fight that still this battle is Gideon's own, that was when he now fully believed that, okay, fine. So how much was enough to convince one man? It may look like you might be making a mockery of Gideon today and say, okay, Gideon needed too much convincing. But was it his fault or was it not his fault? Was it Gideon's fault that he needed a lot of evidence, or it wasn't his fault that he needed it? If you think it was his fault, let me see your hand. So all of you believe that it was not his fault. It was his fault. So if you believe that it was his fault for him to be asking for that much evidence, let me see your hand. It was his fault. It was his fault. Men of faith, glory to God. So if you believe it was not his fault, let me see your hand. It was not his fault. Okay. So why was it not his fault, Pius? Yeah. Numbers was great. So you can actually argue for or against and say, it's not his fault. Okay, now let's just continue teaching. You can say that it was his fault because if he has already understood that an angel of the Lord was with him, that should have been enough assurance. Right? Knowing fully well that, okay, this magnitude, or this, it's not just my strength, I'm going with the strength of God. However, you can also say it was not his fault because what he was told to do did not actually make sense by any realm of logic. By any stretch of imagination of man. Don't forget that we are looking at why the atheists went wrong. Choosing reason over faith, that is logic, or what makes sense over faith. And we see Gideon in that position, that he was told to do something that did not make any sense. He's going to fight an army that he could not number with 300 men. Imagine putting that to all the battle scholars and people that can do strategy. In fact, look, let's just say, and of course, hope you know that it don't say 300 men. Do you know the kind of men? What if they were like John Wick? Like, those you are carrying 300 John Wick into battle? You just know that. Or you say, okay, you are carrying 300 John Wick or 300 US Marine to come and fight 100,000 Nigerian police. But okay, so I should make it 300 Marines to 1 million policemen. Do we have up to 1 million policemen, first of all? So, I don't know if we have up to 1 million. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But it's not that kind of comparison. Because if you say 300 to 1 million, or even 10 million can make sense because of the kind of 300. But see the kind of 300 they went to carry. 300 that there was no qualification to choose them based on how they drank water. There was no military skill or anything. It's just, how did this person drink water? Did he drink water like this? Or did he lie down like in me? Like, hey, water has come. Let me just drink. That was all.
And they say, okay, these ones, we are ready for battle. So, that did not make sense at all. At all. Now, let us now see. We are starting to explain now. God has never been interested in making sense to those who think they are wise. God has actually never been interested in making sense to those who think they are wise. We are going to comprehensively analyze a part of scriptures and see how we can, where we'll go from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The topic is still the path of glory. Don't worry. We are going somewhere to happen. 1 Corinthians 1. 17. Open. Should reason overcome faith? Are they right in choosing reason over faith? What is the middle ground? Who is right? Who is wrong? 1 Corinthians 1, 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. Now, we are going to be doing a verse-by-verse analysis. I'm sure you follow me. So, Paul is saying in this verse that, I was sent to preach the gospel. He said what he was sent to do. Then he now went to amplify how he would do what he was sent to do. I was sent to preach the gospel, not to baptize. However, this preaching is not with wisdom of words. It's not telling you how. Because if it doesn't tell you how, people will start saying, so long as it's the gospel. Say, I was sent to preach the gospel. You don't say, okay, me too, I was sent to preach the gospel. It's not the gospel. You are sent, I'm sent. It's the gospel, it's the gospel. Anyhow, I want to do it. So long as we are preaching the gospel. Is it not gospel we are doing? Are we playing here? When we say we are in church, we are in church. Is it not also gospel we are doing? Are you doing gospel more than I'm doing gospel? It is gospel. Yours is gospel. Mine is what? Gospel. So if Paul does not say the how, it will be an open thing for anybody to just attempt to fit in whatever they like inside. So now Paul wants to explain how. He now says that not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. So say the how matters. Say the how matters. The how, it matters. It matters. We are going to see why it matters. Wisdom here. Wisdom of words. Wisdom there is Sophia. Sophia. It means broad and full intelligence. Broad, full intelligence. Wisdom. However, this wisdom can be two different types. There is a wisdom of men and there is a wisdom of God. The wisdom that belongs to men and a wisdom that belongs to God. Two different types. Then Paul now made it clear that these two types of wisdom are not trying to cooperate. They're not trying to cooperate. They are not the same thing. Do we still have coins in Nigeria? I don't even... I want to believe we don't because nobody spends it. So, you know coin, but I'm sure you have seen coin. It's my boo-boo that might not know what coin would be. Coin has how many sides? Can you say the two sides... Are the two sides different? But is it the same coin? So this kind of wisdom is not what Paul is saying. It's not two sides of the same coin. Like, it's just when you turn here, anyone you see. No. He's saying that they are two clearly different things. Very far apart in reality. These two wisdoms, they are actually very far apart in reality. Please ensure you are noting down all these things. Very far apart. They don't work towards the same purpose. They don't.
They don't walk towards the same purpose. They don't achieve the same results. They don't. In fact, the two of them cancels out each other. Is that serious? It cancels out each other. And look at this verse 17 again. What is the canceling out that the wisdom of the of words does? It makes what? The cross of Christ of no effect. That's the canceling out. Once this one is, if I use the wisdom of words, I have automatically made the cross of Christ of no effect. Of no effect there means to make it empty. To make it useless, as can know. To make it useless. To neutralize it. To deprive it of its power. How can I explain this? Okay, you've all watched all these army. You've watched fighting movies, right? Of armies, not nine. I mean, U.S. movies of their SEAL team. I'm trying to explain something. I'm just trying to explain something. And the average SEAL guy that is going into like all these their trooper guys. How many things does he carry? You see him carry plenty of things. Backpack filled with ammunition, gun, plow, everything is from head to toe is kitted, right? Now, imagine you lay hold on that guy like this. You say, okay, I want to help you fight your battle. Then you remove his helmet, remove his gun, remove everything that he carries, the grenade, the hand, just throw everything on the floor. And to even say, okay, yes, we know that he can be also skilled. You put his hand what's it called? You chain his hand like, it's the kind of chain they used to chain King Kong that he cannot remove himself. Chain the hand, chain the leg. In fact, put all drugs into his system that makes him, even if he wants to lift his hand, like, at that point in time, does he have power? So what have you done? You have neutralized him. So that is what the wisdom of the world does to the gospel. Now, you are told that the gospel is what? The power of God, right? Yet, it now says that if I preach it with the wisdom of words, I have made the gospel like that. It's just, helpless to save. Can't do anything. So it is not a function of these two wisdom cooperate. Let us do it. It helps each other. We are trying to help the work. Even if you think you are trying to help it, you have spoiled it. That's it. Is that clear? Please ensure you get this. Just ensure you are following. God's path, God's wisdom has his own terms and conditions. If you try to incorporate man's wisdom into it, you will make it feel utterly useless. Utterly useless. You will now be wondering, is this not the U.S. Marine that they say that this? Is this not the U.S. Marine? Is it not this one that they have been hyping? At that point in time, it has been neutralized. So it will no longer be, is it not the power of God? You have neutralized it. Of course, you know that neutralizing it does not mean that, forget that U.S. Marine that I say you have taken off. You know you cannot take off the power of God from the power of God. So you have simply made it inoperative that it cannot do what it should do. For the person, but in his own, this is powerful. Yes. So neutralizing it means it cannot now carry out the desired result. You won't get the desired result that the power should get. Of no effect. Let's see the next verse. Verse 18. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Paul now makes a comparison between two separate persons. He said to one set of persons, The message is silliness. It's silly. It's laughable. But to another set, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. Please ensure you get this. To one set, it is nonsense, stupid, nothing. To another set, it is the power of God. See verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Okay, you're still right. Verse 19. You must follow me verse by verse. You don't write it now? Verse 19. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, destroy there means to put out of the way, to render useless. That's apolumi. To put out of the way, to render useless, to ruin, to abolish. Abolish. Then this wise there means someone who is skillful. Please, and so you take this definition. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I've explained destroy to you, to render useless. Now, wise there means someone who is skilled. Now, and so you take this definition. Forming the best plans and using the best means for their execution. Someone who is skilled, who can form the best plans and use the best means for its execution. That's why they are sophos. And this applies both positive and negative sense. So you don't just think that it's negative. No. Applies both positive and negative. But let's continue. See, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, bring to nothing there means to thwart. To thwart the efficacy of something. To do away with. To thwart the efficacy. To do away with. To reject. To refuse. And understanding there, of course, someone who is smart, who, another word for understanding there is actually reasoning. Reasoning, understanding, synesis, reasoning. Then the prudent is now synetos, the noun, someone who has understanding. Someone who has understanding. So the reasoning of the wise man. Say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That means when the skillful wise man in this world has laid out his plans and his reasoning, I will reject it. I will not have anything to do with it. That's God. Does that show compatibility between the two wisdom? Does it show it? No. Both of them are on opposing ends. You have seen in verse 17 that the wisdom of the world makes the cross of none effect. Now we have seen on this own part of God making the wisdom of the world also of no effect. Doing away with it. Now, let's continue. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Paul now made it clear now that we have two subject matter in this discussion. Two discussions. Two persons that are the subject matter. Number one, the wisdom of the world. Number two, the wisdom of God. There are two things he's comparing here. Wisdom of the world, wisdom of God. That is what is in discussion here.
So this is like a dare. Where is the wise? Where is the disputer of this world? He's now saying that, has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? Saying that, has God not already shown? Has God not already proven that the wisdom of this world is not wisdom at all? God has shown it that, hey, the wisdom that men that are wise in the world think they have is actually not wisdom at all. It has been proven. Like the man that said it is medically proven that married men have IBP. That is his own proven, which is not even correct. Doesn't apply to every married man. So you see the fault in the wisdom of the world? Big fault. So that is not the kind of wisdom here. If God says he has shown, then it is indisputable that the wisdom of this world is actually foolish and stupid. Nothing at all. So this tells you that it is not what you are going to see at the end of the day. You know, some people will tell you, be doing your own, let me do my own. At the end of the day, we'll see it's correct. Do you understand that kind of mindset? It's not what you are waiting to see at the end of the day who is right. No, it has been clearly proven that the wisdom of this world is stupidity before God. It's clear. That conclusion has been made by God already. Imagine if God has made a conclusion. And men are still trying to say, let us see how it goes. The conclusion has been made already by God. That's what Paul said in verse 20. Has not God made the wisdom of this world foolish? Verse 21. 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are saved. Now see the first part. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. What is he saying? Please note this. Paul is saying clearly that according to the wisdom of God, the world cannot know God by the world's wisdom. According to God's own wisdom, the world cannot know God by its own wisdom. So that inability of the world to be able to know God by themselves is God's wisdom. Are you understanding me? That is God's wisdom. Hey, if you are trying to know me by your own standards or your own wisdom, forget it. And that it in itself is God's wisdom. This is very certain. It's sure. You can tell the man who wants to rely on his reasoning. You can give him, you say, okay, how many years do you have to live on earth? I give you 150. Try. With your reasoning, where will you get to? Nowhere. You will still not be able to know God. That is God's design. That is God's wisdom. It's clear. So, verse 22, 24. Why is it impossible for them to know? Verse 22 to 24. For the Jews require what? What do the Jews require? Write and open your Bibles and read. 22, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after what? Wisdom. 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So, to tell you that he's not using these Jews and Greeks to describe a nationality, he's just using that one to represent the wisdom of this world. So he's now saying, anyone who accepts, whether he's a Jew or a Greek, as for that one, this is no longer foolishness. Why? Because, see, whether you are seeking signs or you are seeking wisdom, God has only one solution. From where we just read, I read it again for you. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the what? Power of God and the wisdom of God. That means the Jews are seeking for a sign, something spectacular. The Greeks are seeking for something that will make sense. And he's saying God presented only one option. And in that option is the spectacular, is the power. That option is also the wisdom. So no matter what you are seeking, signs, wisdom, God has only one solution, which is Christ. Christ is the sign of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. God is fixed on that path. God's own path, though, is fixed. And no matter what you are seeking, God has one response. One response. Christ. Enough to satisfy. But see 25. Because the foolishness of God. Am I too fast? Okay, wait a little. Right. 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Of course, you know God cannot be foolish, right? And God cannot be weak. So he's not trying to explain something to you. That even when it looks foolish to the reasoning of man, even when it doesn't make sense by anything man can use to analyze sense, even if it doesn't, that is still a greater wisdom than what the best of what man can bring. Even when what is happening or the instruction or God's presentation looks foolish, stupid, when you use it to analyze by sense, it looks stupid. It's telling you that that is wiser than the best strategy you can think about. So in that situation of Gideon now, saying we want to go and analyze for in the godly wisdom of sense, who should have the advantage? The kings of Midian and Amalek, combined army. Say, okay, let us have our combined strength. By the time we combine five nations together, we'll be able to defeat one nation. Their leader himself is not even somebody that knows battle strategy. Is that nonsense? Yes. Then what is now foolishness for them? Foolishness is a man coming before them with 300 untrained men. So that is stupid. That is foolish. But now the question is now, even that what looks foolish is bigger or better than all the analysis you can think about with your analytical brain of war. That is... this thing I just said, that doesn't make sense. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Hey, believer, it should make sense to you. Because, okay, all right, we'll get there. See why it should make sense to you. 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So Paul is now using their physical experience to buttress this point. He's using their physical station in life to explain this. Say, hey, there are all of you here. The world will not consider you as wise. As in, you are not actually people that the world will consider as wise. You don't manifest the traits that the world considers wisdom. Do you understand? You say you go for an interview and you are asked, we want to give you 1 million naira every month. That sounds good, right? Okay. Huh? No. Hey, see pride though. Not bad. Well done, sir. So, you thought, I will give you 1 million naira every month, sure.
But this is what the job will entail. You would work every day, every day. You're going to be working is an 18-hour job. Countdown. I've not started now. It's an 18-hour job. You work 7 days a week. And but don't worry, we'll give you a residential area where you stay in a residential area. So once you close, you just go home. So you don't have to spend too much time in transit. I'll make a good HR person. That's what applies. And of course, you're going to be traveling a lot. There is no fixed time. We can call upon you at any time to travel. So, and that traveling can be in different countries, and you would might not see your family for a while. Just travel, and well, when you travel, of course, you will get extra allowances for traveling. Sometimes you can rack up to a 500,000 naira extra for traveling, and the rest. But we are going to make you head a project. The project is actually going to be on target because we are remunerating you based on what you think, based on the value you're going to bring to this company. So do you think this is enough value? They've given you the benefits, right? That you get 1 million naira, 500,000 naira extra and all of that. So now this is what we expect from you. We expect that you're going to make this company 100 million naira every month by the targets that you're going to give. You were given the target to raise 100 million. We don't know how you do it. It's just, that's your portfolio. Just ensure you meet our target of 100 million naira. And of course, you're a beautiful girl. You shouldn't be able to get that work. Yeah, you should be able to ensure that works. That's you. So any question? Is it your company? That's not almost a tithe. Okay, that's a tithe of a tithe. Yeah, it's not your company now. Okay, 10 million. I get a tithe of it. Okay, or you will get, if you get 10 million, no, let's see, you will get a bonus. Okay, then anyway, just that job scenario. Is that a good job? Of course, you can. That 18 hours is just your minimum time. Oh. Of course, every job gives you that time is minimum time now. That's, you can work extra hours if it is necessary. And of course, you know, but by the time you are given a target to raise 100 million naira a month, all that will be in your head is what? When you see anybody, when you encounter any man, what is your mind? What is your part in that 100 million? How can I? Can you play your part in getting me 100 million naira every month? So, but does that, is that job a good job? No, that, even by worldly standard. You travel with allowance, with first class, and they are going to. Charities considering this job like this. Somebody is even receiving. But if we are going to analyze it, if you go for such an interview and you say no, then you come out and tell your friends, what will they say? Some of you, if you even tell your parents will disown you. Like, your old father that gave it to you, say, you're not my child again. Just pack your bag. Say, because I'm giving you food to eat in the house. That's why you don't know what life is talking about. Pack your bag, I'll be going. It's just to show you that both, man. The expectation and stand, you are the one trying to make it make sense. You are trying hard to see how it can make sense. But by default, why should it not make sense to you? Because you've not considered, you look, right?
Every day of the week. Sunday gone. Monday gone. Tuesday gone. Wednesday gone. Thursday. It's every day of the week now. You work every 7 days a week. You didn't hear me. 18 hours, 7 days a week. You work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Every day is gone. In fact, even if you have a wife, you might not see her. You might not see her because by the time you're coming back, everybody have slept. By the time you're going out, they've woken up. My So when you say no to such a job, you are not exhibiting the traits of what the world calls wisdom. At that point, you are foolish. Maybe in your case, I use a bad, that job is just bad, even so by some physical standard. All right, let's use a nicer one. Let's use a nicer one. Who can give me a nicer one that is the word we also consider juicy? Okay, let's say you are going to be given. You are going to be given. Yes. Okay. Let's assume this. There's a startup company that we want to raise. What do people call this kind of scheme? Let's just assume that it's not Ponzi scheme. No, you go and tell people that keep your money with us. Just go and get people. It's marketing. Get people to come and save your money with us. What's the name of those people now? No, it's not multi-level. You're not increasing level. Come and save your money with us. We are saving it. It's like Osusu. Okay, let me say asset management. It's not Osusu. I say Osusu. Okay, it's asset management. Thank you, sir. That's a professional name. All right. So asset management. Now, you are told, come and go and get convince people to part with their hard-earned money to save what with us, that we are going to manage it for them. And they've promised you 50% of whatever money you can bring in. And plus other benefits. But you know that by them offering you 50% of whatever money you bring in, they are not interested in managing that fund. The fund will not be managed. In fact, it is very dicey. All the people you are collecting money from, they might lose their money at the end of the day. But you are going to be earning crazy amount of money. Does that sound wise in the world wisdom? You work on your terms. This one is not the one that kills you. You work on your terms. You go, take, bam, just as long as you can raise any amount of money you raise, you get 50% of it. So, fine, raise whatever you want to raise. But you know that the people you are going to tell, the woman that is selling akara and buns, and you say, come and save, I will make you a millionaire. Save your money with me. I will invest it for you in capital, whatever. You know, where you just put some, just say, I'm a stockbroker, put some name that the woman does not know. She just take. You know that your bosses are going to do kalu-kalu with that money. And it will go. But your own salary is guaranteed. Is that a job that is wise according to the world standard? So if you go there and reject such a job, will you be considered wise? Do you understand? What is it? You which consequence? You know, you will go to another place. It's not Nigeria. We can't disturb. Just go to Emore. They will find you. I promise you. Let's go there. I'm letting you go there. You can't build mansion there. Nobody will find you. I see. The rock in the kitchen behind you. They will see you. Forget that. In Nigeria, that was just the physical consequence. Forget. But Paul is not trying to tell you that, see, when you accepted this gospel, you already put a sign on your head that you are not wise. You've already sacrificed your entitlement to be called a wise man by the world standard when you accepted. Because if you tell a man, say, there's a God you have not seen. I'm telling man, there is a God you have not seen. Who wants to forgive a sin you don't know you have? Who? And you will not go to hell. A hell you have not seen. And you will not have a spirit that you will not see.
What does that mean? You will not be righteous that you will not see. You are just be told that you will be righteous. You also just be told that you are holy. You are not seeing it though. You are just told. And you will rejoice with that. They say you should rejoice. Well, you are not seeing why you should be rejoicing. And they are even not telling you that your physical things are not guaranteed. The things you can see are not guaranteed. The things that you cannot see that are guaranteed. Does it make sense? You say, ah, that's scam. That should actually be the real scam. Because it is the things I can, let me be able to see what you are telling me now. Let this money be here. I think, let me see why. But you're not telling me all the things I can see. I should not place my trust in it. I should not be placing trust on things I cannot see. Yeah, it's scam. So to be able to accept that already, you have already shown that what? You are not wise according to the world standard. So it's now too late for you to now be trying to now make sense to them. You have removed yourself from that plane already. Believing a God you have not seen. And yet you are saying these spiritual things are more tangible to me than the things I can see. And you are just rejoicing over something that you have not seen. Ah, that was not wise. And imagine, see, don't blame first timers that cannot rejoice. Because you think about it. We just come to a place, we just say somebody, glory, glory, glory. We just say, somebody just holds the microphone and say, glory, glory to God. I'm a son of God. Everybody, if I'm a first timer, I'm just like, what? You just shift very well. You should shift very well from the person that you are sitting beside. Ah, I said this person is not going crazy. It is not their fault. But God has never been interested in making sense in the world's way. God is spirit. So he has never been interested in making sense in the physical. It's just unfortunate that persons are refusing to see that. That tells you that God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of this world and things which are despised had God chosen, yea, and things that are not to bring to naught, and things that are not to bring to nothing things that are. Do you understand this verse? This is what I just finished explaining, that God chose the things which are not physically to now embarrass and disgrace the things which are actually present physically. Ha. Say, this is our God. That word confound there talks about to disgrace, to put to shame. This is what Pastor used to say, that God chooses the basket, he uses the basket to fetch water just to disgrace the bucket. Paul says he uses the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. To Gideon fighting an army with 300 men, that is the weak things to confound the mighty things. Jehoshaphat fighting with musicians, that is beyond stupid in the world standard. Do you understand? That's beyond stupid. Going around the world 7 days shouting, you are high. He said, as if you have gone mental. His royal highness. You are really high. You have a degree in stupidity. That's what the world. And imagine how the leaders in Jericho would have just been watching from the top, like they are going around again. Wow, these people. Then the seventh day, they are not going 7 times. Some people, maybe as they haven't walked, some people are already tired. Everybody like, yeah, say, see them. And all of a sudden, the wall that they are standing on just comes like this. Does it make sense? God has never been interested in making sense. And he has shown it countless times that, see, if you are trying to analyze by sense, you will miss it. We have copious examples to show that, see, it is not by sense. So you see a physical...
8:30. 8:30. Anyway, so God has always been showing men that victory has little to do with their intelligence and strategy. It has been showing it. God does not win his battles man's ways. Man has a way they will get things done. That's not God. That's not God. That's not God at all. These two parts, these two wisdoms, are never in agreement. One always pulls down the other. Once faith comes, reasoning must go down. Once reason stands, faith must go down. The two of them cannot coexist. Just give me less than 10 minutes and let's close so I can finish this. Matthew 20. Let's see clear examples of how this was what. Just examples. Matthew 20. Please hurry. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20, 24. Before this, the mother of James and John had asked Jesus that she wants her sons to be at his right and left hand. Okay, 24. Matthew 20, 24 now. And when the other ten disciples now heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Why do you think they were angry? Because James and John, their mother had already brought it to, please, Jesus, in this your kingdom, let this one be by your right, let this one be by your left. As in, can be achieved. So they're like, but if these people are moving, they're trying to outsmart us. They want to now be faster than us. Some people will say, why are not thinking first now? Why am I not come ask Jesus first before this woman's mother came? All the plenty, strategy. They were already angry that you are trying to outshine us. You are trying to outdo us. You are trying to just whatever. See 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. So what is the show of strength in the world? I'm showing you how Jesus clearly showed that there was a separation between the worldly wisdom and the one that is of God. So in the world's wisdom, who are the people that are great? Those with authority. Those with power. It's the man that has the most money that is great. It's the man that has the most connection that amounts to something. But he's now saying that, 26, it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Minister, that means servant. Someone that ministers to somebody. Don't think it is minister of power and finance. 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So you see clearly. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus was telling them that, hey, this kingdom operates differently. It operates differently. It's not by trying to be the forefront and saying, let them see me. I'm at your right hand, I'm your left hand. I'm the most important person to you. No. That the one who will be called the greatest will be the one who serves. So now do you see why service is greatness and not the path to greatness? It's not I'm serving so that I can be great. No. He's saying the greatest is the person that is serving. So service is the greatness. What obtains on the world, different from what obtains on God's part. Here, it is not recognition. It is not fame that counts, but service. Who serves? Who is interested in ensuring every other person is better? That is the great person. Separate from the world's wisdom. See John 13. When Jesus made something similar, in John 13. So you don't think that it is the feet washing that is the problem, because you can wash feet and still be proud. You can wash people's feet once a year and still be the most unserving pastor. Now tells you in John 13, verse 12, after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you?
You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. What is the example? You know, in verse, when we read in Matthew, was he washing feet there? So what did he say? What was the example he said? As I have served you, as I have given my life for men, so also should you serve. So it's the same thing he's trying to teach them. Whether with this, the different circumstances, same lesson. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Please, look at 16 again. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. What is this telling us? You cannot desire to outshine Jesus. You cannot desire to outsmart him. You cannot try to be more important than Jesus in the spotlight. You can't think you are wiser. He's saying that if you recognize that you are sent, if you recognize your job description, if you recognize your terms and reference, if you understand what you are sent to do, that you cannot be superior in this than the master, happy are you if you do it. Happy is the one, the man who recognizes that a believer is a servant of Christ. And he will do as Christ has done. He will stick with his job description. Be satisfied with your job description. Be satisfied. Let's see Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Verse 7. This was after John had sent the disciples to ask Jesus a question. Verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. That means you did not go to the wilderness to go and see plants. John was in the wilderness. You went to find him there. It was not the plants in the wilderness you were going to see. You were going to see a man who was clothed not with king's clothes. He now says, 9. He said, a prophet. But what went you out to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So, Jesus drew the line. If he says he that is least in the kingdom of heaven, will now be that. Right now, there is going to be a kingdom of heaven, which John has said I'm going to usher in, right? So, John will be ending what? The Old Testament. You get? So, of everybody in the Old Testament, rejoice, you're looking confused. Do you understand what I just said? Okay. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. So, this line is now from when to when? From Genesis to John. It's now saying, notwithstanding, because John said, this is the man, the kingdom of God is at hand, and Jesus is the one bringing in the kingdom of God, right? So, he's now saying, but in the kingdom of God, he that is least is greater than John. So the comparison is between John, when God, Jesus is saying he's the greatest, is among all the Old Testament prophets. Do you get? So not old and new. So Old Testament. Now, count, who, just name off the top of your head prophets in the Old Testament. Isaiah, Amos, mm-hmm, David, Micah, Elijah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah. See all the big names. Very good. Now, Obadiah, wait on, sir. Jonah. Now, If you give me somebody that is familiar with the Old Testament and you put all the prophets' names there from Genesis down and you put John the Baptist and say, pick the greatest of the prophets. See, I say Elijah. Why will you pick Elijah? Somebody say Elijah. Somebody say Moses. Why will you pick Elijah? If I be a man of God, their father, let fire fry your brain. Who you be? Where then they? Me. Hey, me care. Me that God sent. Me that saw God face to face. What are you talking about? So what you just say, who is the greatest? Like, you just say, did I say, who do you want to be like? Let me just stand in front of a sea and just say, Pat, who you are? Who are you? Who are you? See your shoulder pad like if so will just be one. Hey, see, I see under you. Just pat. It's about saying nice. Now, that is the word analysis. Jesus said, if you are going to pick the greatest, you will not even. Wait, who is John? John? Special? John? Your name does not even sound just one syllable. When you hear is Zachariah, Obadiah, Zephaniah, Nahum, Abakuku, and you're calling John. Who is John? John, you're not near. But you know what he say? He is what? The greatest. Why? Because of job description. The prophets have one job. So, the Messiah. He did it best. He told you, behold, see him. Yeah, clear. No type and shadow. Nine be this. So, because of clarity and sticking to job description and doing job well, who was greatest? John. Emphasize it again. See, greatness is by job description, no? Not by effect. What system we want to pick effect? This man just started church in 6 months. They have changed venues 10 times. Every venue they enter, by the next week, the venue is not too much. They just keep changing. This man is the apostle of our generation and in generation to come. The Lord is using it. So, what are they judging with? Effect. But what is God judging with? Job description. Like Pastor said, if you not go and you say you don't gather people, gather 100,000 people, it's not even sheep. It is goat sheep. There's a word they use to describe that thing. Goat sheep. As in that. You just gather. I say, let us be. Anyway, so there is a world wisdom and there is a God wisdom. Honor is not the same as what others call honor. Jesus already told you. Told you. Glory is not what others call glory. Jesus proved that the word wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world is vastly different. Different. As in, two opposing different. You cannot try and merge it. It's what many persons are trying to do. You cannot try and merge it. There are parallel lines that will never meet. Let it remain so. Let it remain so. However, people insist on making this comparison today. Let me give you examples of how they make. For example, you say, okay, if you start a business today, you are an entrepreneur, right? You start a business. How does the world rate your success in that business? Profitability, ROI, yeah, well done, sir. We done on investment, thank you. So, how quickly can you get your investment money? How quickly can you, this one, break even? Thank you. So, you now start seeing, because for them to call something the fastest growing business, they must have something to compare you with and a standard, right? Now, that is how they rate profitability in business and how quickly a business starts performing. Imagine using that wisdom to now compare a church. But you know that's what is done. When you have been told that the wisdom of this world, how they will rate things, how they will value things, is like this. Separate. God has told you my ways and all your ways. Of course, you know that's God and the universal man. And how he will rate things separate. Yet, you will now use this same thing to try and compare this. If I now want to ask you, why can it not work? Let me see if you're following this teaching. Why can this two, why can, or why are we rating the two together not work? Why are we using this system to compare this? Why can it never give you the correct result? It's different. What you will now have to ask, what is the basis for which you will use to judge? Because to be able to get a good result, you must have it. Your data input must be correct, right? I'm good. So the datum you put there, yes, yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. The file has finished. But you get me? The basis for the compare, there must be a basis for which, and that basis must be what is it called? Must apply to both. Yeah, exactly. Must be constant in two. For you to be able to apply, if you say Ini has sense more than him, you must be able to say that the sense level is the same. Do you understand? As if before you now say he's using his sense more, you must have said, okay, this is his own sense, is the capacity is the same, the input is the same, everything is the same. Then that is where you cannot tell what the difference is. But for us, the input is not the same, the capacity is not the same, the system is not the same, nothing is the same. Yet you are trying to use that to merge this. You see that it's down foolishness. That is where we get it wrong. So on the path of glory, there is a different one. This path is different. Yeah, what guides us is God's wisdom. The world compares by effect. What gets the most attention? What makes the loudest noise? That is what the world used to compare. Don't forget, we are studying the path of glory. The man of reasoning, what makes the most sense? What appeals the most? But on this path, the datum is what shows Christ. What projects Christ? That is it. The world system, what makes the loudest noise? What gets the most attention? What makes everyone more happy? This one, Christ. Because Christ is what God presented. Wisdom, power. Christ, the wisdom and power of God. So the worst thing a believer can do to himself is to compare himself with persons that are not even on the same path with him. That's the worst thing you can do. Ah. Because I said this clearly in Kaduna. Worst thing you can do to yourself. So try comparing yourself with somebody that is not even the same path. Because what will now be the basis for comparison? What will be the measurement? What will be the yardstick to compare? If you say you want to measure success, then what would amount to success? What will be success? What will you call success? Yeah, I want to compare myself with somebody I graduated from school 5 years ago. Okay, that person has succeeded in life. Now, what is success? And what is the measurement to measure the success, the level of the success? That is why it's a useless venture. You cannot. Let's see the last scripture and then we'll close on this. 2 Corinthians 10. Continue this later. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, what is their status? They are not wise. Now, you know the funny thing? This comparison is among believers, so, among ministers. That means even on this path of glory, you are not to compare yourself with yourself. How much more stupid will it not be to compare yourself with someone that is not on this path? This is ministers Paul is talking about. And if we try to compare our outputs, compare our results, compare this one, what is this one doing? What is this one doing? What has it done? We are not wise. You're now borrowing foolishness from the world. You are bowing to an inferior wisdom. When you have been told that your wisdom, which you partake of in God through Christ, is superior, you are now using the world's rating standard. You are borrowing a foolishness that is not in God. The first thing to know in this path of glory, hey, it is a unique path. It's different. Two different paths. Two different paths. There's a path of glory and there's another path. We'll continue on later. Okay, so say to yourself, say, I'm wise. Say, I'm wise. I'm not foolish. You must know what God calls sense. God has never been in the business of appealing to man's logical whatever. Say, does it make sense by logic? It doesn't. Call almost any situation. You know, when Sarah laughed, why did she laugh? Did she have a reason to laugh? How old was she? 89, thereabout. And you're saying she should come and she will give birth to a child. Really? Oh, wow. This is super story. Well, see. But do you know something? Do you know when the angel's response, and she said, why do you laugh? Do you know her response showed remorse? Her response showed repentance. Because if she did not now say, okay, it was wrong, I should believe, what would her response have been? She would have said, not be so. I go laugh again, Sam. You, wait, talk up. You think I'm now. You think I'm. You say, it makes sense to you. Yeah, you think I'm. Yeah, you, no, you know, you've heard some people analyze things before. You think I'm now. Okay. See, make we analyze. Just even imagine, say, I won't bump again. Think I'm, just think I'm. They think so. You let me analyze it. So, how? But when the angel told that, bam, she just said, I did not laugh. Okay. I didn't know that. But at least she's taking dressing. She's giving herself what? Brain. And when the angel now said his own response, fine. So at that point in time, it's not a function. See, this is what will happen. If you like, be laughing all your life. You are your own. Ah, bedroom. God has never made sense physically. And the Bible has told you that it's not even trying to. It's not like it did not make sense physically before, but this is 21st century. God is now improving with time. There is now an upgrade. It's a new modern, a new updated model of God that now makes sense. Ah, it will never happen. It will never happen. Till today, you will still see somebody's body that does not, medicine will tell you this body cannot cooperate and have a child. And can the person have a child? Yes. The funny thing is, sometimes you even keep going to the hospital, and the hospital will keep saying that this body has not changed. And what is happening? The woman is pregnant. They look at it, they go. So we keep going again. I said, see, this body is still, it has not changed though. And the woman born. This body has not changed. How? She born again. You are there analyzing. If God wanted to make sense sometimes, if you just say, okay, let me just help this doctor's unbelief. Okay, what's wrong with you again? Okay, let's just say perfect. But it doesn't have to. So if you're now waiting for that to now change, okay, you're waiting for God to make sense for you to believe. Nah. Say, I'm not an atheist.
I'm not an atheist.
What pastor I'll be trying to sing to you? A believer. You have already removed, you have already told everybody that, see, I'm foolish to accept a God that I cannot see. I'm foolish to say this thing is more than the physical. Just continue your foolishness, Jeje. Do you understand? Just continue. Continue. You have started. Just continue. Be going there like that. You'll be doing your foolishness. See, I told you before that I'm not wise. I said, I am holy. Can you see? I am holy. I'm righteous. I am sanctified. This my body will become immortal. You're just talking things that nobody can verify. Even if you give them all the best equipment in the world, man cannot verify your immortal body will look like. And you are still saying, this immortal body I'm getting into. So continue where in your foolishness. Change and be going. Brethren, continue your foolishness. Because you have been told that even the foolishness is what? Is wiser than the biggest wisdom of men. So be there. Don't worry. Never be like the atheists and pick reasoning over faith. It's a life of faith. You have been sentenced there. You have just been, you know, they sentence you to life imprisonment. You have been sentenced a life of faith. Just be there. You are brought by faith, you continue here in faith. Your whole body is doing like, bah, you lift like, bah, it comes like, boo, bah, hey, boo. Healing is mine. This body is still well. See, don't let this body fool you. You know, sometimes I tell my own self, see, don't let this body fool you. I say, I've let myself, don't allow this your body to fool you. Warn yourself. Yes, so it's a perishable body, but even now, it houses immortality. There are things you should be telling yourself, like, see, as it's there like this, as it's broken and bruised, it houses immortality. So warn yourself, oh, this is not lost like this, oh. Hey, Joe, because you have started on the path of foolishness, continue. This is all I've told you this evening. Because God has never been interested in trying to make sense to me. If he wanted to make sense to Gideon, he would have said, okay, don't worry. Gideon, I'll give you, how many is the army? Okay, 2 million. I'll give you 10 million. Would that make sense to Gideon? Yes. It makes sense to Gideon. You say, Abraham, oh, you're almost 100. Okay, you don't, all right, now I'm going to change you. I'm going to reinvigorate you like a youth. Now, by the time you wake up in the morning, you're going to look like you're 25 years old. Would that help Abraham more? Yes, now you help him to believe. When he wakes up in the morning, he sees himself, glory to God! BK, where are you? Do you understand? That would have helped his faith. But he will say, see, as the deadness of your womb, that's how you go to born, oh, like that. My God, glory to God! This is our God. That's our God. So, if you don't agree with that, you have said you are an atheist. Okay? That is the truth. See, I am an atheist. I actually believe reason over faith. But if you say, no matter what I'm seeing, I'm already on the path of foolishness, I continue there because I'm a believer, then that is how you show that you have picked faith over reasoning. Don't forget, you cannot hold the two together. You can never hold it together. Say, I believe, but let us walk with sense. Amen. One always cancels out the other. One always cancels out the other. Glory to God. All right, let's be on our feet. Just give you 5 minutes again, or just 2-3 minutes. They're just going to, we'll just be doing this as a practice, as pastor has taught us, to ensure our words agree with the things that we desire. So that's what we are going to just keep doing. Every time we gather, I will say, hey, our words agree. Don't forget, we are not doing only church, but just to remind ourselves again that this is what we are going to be doing. So, of course, I don't know your desires. I cannot lead your prayer for you. So just continue ensuring. Just keep praying for yourself that your words agree with your desire. Your word agrees with what God has said, that you are not an atheist. This is what the word has said. This is what prophecy I've been received by prophecy. This is the words I received when hands were laid on me. These were the things spoken to me. I was told that I would dispense the word of God with power. Yet, it looks like I'm always shy. No, I'm a being who will dispense the power of God through my words, through my hands. I will not allow shyness to cripple me. So that's what you keep saying. I am an able minister of the New Testament. Whatever it is, just ensure that your desire agree with your words right now. That's all you're doing. One more minute. We receive good days. good days, good days, where we cannot lay charge to God's ledger that God is at fault in our life. No, 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 ah, no, 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 no. We cannot lay charge to God's ledger that it is God that was at fault. So we must ensure we have explored all our own responses. Everything. We keep deploying more. Deploying more, deploying more, deploying more, deploying more. Deploying more, deploying more, deploying more. Since we have a never-ending source, we keep deploying more. And we have a source that will not end. We just keep deploying more. Is it more words I need to go? More words go. Is it more prayers? More prayers go. Is it more study? It goes. Is it more outreach? It goes. Is it more evangelism? It goes. We keep ensuring we deploy more, more, more resources. We are connected to a source that never ends. Never ends. But what we will not do is to stop. What we will not do is to stop. What we will not do is to stop until the things we have seen in this world becomes our absolute reality. We are believers. We believe to the end. We are believers. We believe to the end. No breaks in our believing. We believe to the end. Oh, glory to God. Ah, we are believers. We are believers already. It's too late to doubt. It's too late to doubt. We are believers already. We are believers already. It's too late to doubt. It's too late. We just continue in faith. We just continue in faith. Continue in faith. For us, doubting even becomes more difficult than believing right now. See, to doubt for you requires much more labor. It's easier for you to just continue your faith and be going, JJ. Continue your faith. This is who we are. We are believers. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Please say to yourself again, I'm not an exception to the power of God. You must ensure you keep telling yourself this thing. Because if the power of God, if constant plus constant, if constant means constant, what should happen? What should be the result be? So if constant now means a variable, what would the result now be? It should not be variable. And if God is constant and it is man plus man cooperating with God that gives result. So God on his part is constant. Man, if man is constant, what would the result be? Constant. So if the Bible has assured us that God is constant, if we don't get the constant result which is from God, what will now be the fault? Man. So that is where the problem now comes from. I am not an exception to the power of God. I'm not. Not an exception. Not an exception. If the power of God works, if there is a power to the power of God, do you understand? If there is power in the power of God, we must see it too. I said there's no power in the power of God. But if there is a power in the power of God, we see it. We see it. And we will not stop until we see. This is our oath. See, that is what you sign as a believer. You say, I am a believer. Okay. Was he said, I've agreed. Yeah, that's what you've signed. So your own is, I will not stop until. I will not stop until. See, I will not stop. I will not stop. When we are in church, when we are alone, anywhere, we will not stop. We will not stop. We will not stop until everyone amongst us. Is strong, everyone amongst us well, healthy, until we see this is even the desire of God that we say it's not impossible for God to have a world of sons until we see it. It looks foolish that 300 men are going to fight two nations and you are saying, how many persons are here saying the desire of God is not impossible? How many of you? Are you up to 50? No. But you are a believer. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't worry. So when somebody is asking you, he's telling you that you people are too audacious. The teacher is saying, how can you ever say, in every heart, in every land, Jesus is Lord. See, just leave this. Hey. Yeah. What's your own? Say, I've told you I'm foolish. The thing I believe, do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand. I leave you alone. In the desire of God, it's not impossible. And as you are saying, God has never been interested in making sense to man, though. Rather, he wants to use man's wisdom to prove to him that he's foolish. That is your God. So don't be part of people that God will not prove foolish. No, be on God's part. Let it be that, hey, now we are wise. We are wise. Glory to God. This is our reality. This is our reality. This is our reality. This is who we are. We are believers. We are believers. There is no end to our faith. No, it is from a never-ending source. There is no end to our faith. No end date, no expiry date. No. It's fixed and it's eternal as our salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so see you on Friday video. Bye. 10 p.m. Let's see by 10 p.m. All right, have a blessed day, everyone. Keep speaking.
Sorry, welcome, Pastor Tola. Sorry. Welcome, Pastor Tola.